Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosenfrantz.
In episode 8, joining me is Jay Lau, Director of Transportation at Too Simple. He explains the company's path to providing the trucking industry with level 4 autonomous vehicles and the technology needed to make that happen. He shares what he believes people think when they hear the words self-driving trucks. And he addresses the opportunities and concerns about the driver's role in an autonomous future. Today we have joining me Jay Lau, Director of Transportation at Too Simple. Too Simple is really in the news, and this is pretty timely. Tell us about Too Simple, the company, kind of the idea. How did you get involved with this idea of automating tractors and trailers?
Too Simple as a company was founded in 2015. We are a global company in that we have operations in Asia as well as in the U.S. And really, since the very beginning, we've been squarely focused on Class 8 automation for commercial trucks. So I would say, unlike the revolution of the robo-taxi, or maybe some of the other companies that are more recent to the game, we've got a pretty straightforward focus specifically on trucks. The other thing that makes the company unique amongst the other players in the field is, since day one, we've been focused on an ecosystem approach, squarely focused on technology that can be applied commercially to a vehicle that makes it both safe, productive, and more, I would say, consistent with what, companies would buy as a commercial vehicle right now.
Did you start with them at the beginning or a little later? What attracted you to it?
I joined Too Simple a little over 2 years ago. And really what brought me to Too Simple was, the possible potential of being a part of something new and different. I as an individual, are fairly conservative. When I saw this opportunity, this new revolution coming about within the space, what I did was, what I do as a conservative person, I ask a lot of questions. I was privileged to have conversations with both Too Simple and some other folks in the autonomy space for trucks. And really what it allowed me to do is understand, in my own mind, rationalizing, it wasn't a question any longer of if, it was more when. So, through my network and through some really great conversations and partnerships, found my way to Too Simple. And really one other piece that was just kind of integral in the way I approached it is, I'm a bit of a truck geek. I've read about events like deregulation, certainly was a student of learning more about the intermodal revolution. And I really saw this as the opportunity to be at the ground level, a part of something that really is going to revolutionize the logistics industry as we know it forever. And a chance to be a part of that and that conversation on this side of the desk has been really, really effective and exciting for me.
I did a 50-year trucking blog a couple of weeks ago. And what struck me is sometimes we just see trucking as sort of staid and slow to react. But when you really look at it, a lot of transformations occurred over those decades. So self-driving trucks, I'll let that kind of sink in with the listeners and maybe even myself as I think about what I want to ask you over the next little bit here. I'm guessing just those words, self-driving trucks, kind of put a lot of images in people's minds. And so as you and Too Simple start to talk about your product, the technology that you're bringing forward, am I right? Or what comes to mind when you talk to either fleets considering it or just public when you tell your buddies, who you work for? I mean, what do people think?
The first part of any conversation, it's safety, 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 right? So whether it's a government organization, it's an OEM, or it's a fleet, we talk about the potential for the technology of self-driving to provide a safer working environment. And that's not just for the current operators or for the facilities they operate in or out of. It's really on the open interstate next to my wife and two daughters that apply the same roads as our vehicles and some of our competitors do. So, what's always top of mind is safety, and is it going to be able to operate in a safer environment than a human? And I would tell you, because of the capability for the vehicle not to be distracted, yeah, it will be safer in the future. It will reduce the likelihood of deaths or injuries on the highway. And, the other piece that's kind of interesting about self-driving too is when we talk with these different groups, these different organizations, we talk about timing. We talk about the regulations that will allow it to commercialize. There's already a pretty solid path based on AV 4.0, but they always come back to that same comment around safety. Productivity is great, but I think all the listeners and myself included would agree, all the updates with ELD mandates, hours of service, they're really out there to perform a better safety service for the motoring public. And that's really foundationally where the conversations begin and where they transition to with all these different partners is, you know, when is the technology going to be available and allow it to be safer on the road?
Yeah. And, you know, I've been in engineering and trucking for, you know, I always have joked I'm going to stop at 30 years, but it's now 35. Safety is the start of anything, you know, whether you're designing, you know, a new cost reduction or something new on the truck. So it really does start with safety, but, you know, it also goes quickly to a bunch of other items, job losses because trucking, you know, less truck drivers, or, you know, once you get past safety, what's the second and third conversation that comes up, either positively or concerns?
Yeah, I mean, you called out one of them. It comes back down to jobs. It comes down to workforce. And really the question mark there becomes, you know, how is this technology going to impact the current workforce out there? How is it going to change their jobs? And really, quite frankly, lots ask, well, what are you going to do about it? Because, you know, we're here and we're driving the future forward with some of the other players in the space. And, you know, it's on us to be able to support that. It's not a time like, you know, you saw 40 years ago when automation came to the automotive industry, where it was just accepted that job loss was going to happen. There wasn't an understanding or a plan by the industry to confront it. I think we've got a much more practical approach. So TuSimple is involved in a program for an autonomous operator. You can get that certification through our partner, the Pima Community College. Myself and one of my coworkers are actually teaching that curriculum. So it's getting drivers educated on autonomy, you know, what it is and what it isn't, having them more prepared for the higher level of automation inside of those vehicles so that their job as it transitions, you know, is a positive one for them, so that they're prepared rather than being, you know, left without the resources other than fear to be able to understand what that job loss is going to look like. And it's at a lot, the job loss versus a transition of job. And I think that's the biggest challenge. In most people's mind, they usually say loss, not transition. And that's unfortunate because just like many other industries before trucking, there were plenty of changes that occurred because of, you know, technology brought about. Use your best example, right, of the guy that used to put shoes on horses or, you know, clean up after those amazing beasts in Manhattan in the early 1900s. But, you know, the best part about, I'd say, what we're doing as an industry around that piece is we're having that conversation, right? We're talking with fleets, with leaders, with drivers, everyone in between, from the person who fuels the truck to the person who owns the company, you know, what does that need to look like and how do we help you through this transition? You know, I firmly believe this to be the case. If you were to get a CDL today and decide you want to go out and be a truck driver, that you absolutely will retire as one if you choose to. But that doesn't mean the job is not going to change along the way.
Yeah, and we've got so much, and that's also the industry's not stagnant either. There's a lot of other changes going on. So we put into the mix with electric trucks, hydrogen trucks, shorter routes, more dedicated freight movement, you know, GPS position. You put all of that together and you know, it really becomes a systems challenge of all that stuff going on. So what part of the driving is TuSimple focused on? Is it the final mile? Is it the long haul? Is it something in between? Is it freeways, state routes? What exactly are you doing?
So we're focused on highway as well as near highway application for the vehicle to operate. And that, you know, really entails from a facility, you know, within a couple, 3 miles of the interstate, all of the interstate travel that currently occurs to a final destination off of interstate at the back end too. And that's really going to be our product. You know, the focus there is to provide that oversight, that level of consistency for the vehicle to be able to, you know, successfully navigate those different complexities that we as humans do today.
And is it with a cab, without a cab, or how do you see that transition? Because you are talking about no driver in the cab for that few miles to the freeway distance, and, you know, a little bit on the receiving end or the final end.
For those in your audience that understand the SAE levels of autonomy, we're talking about level 4, which is the first level where you can remove a human from being a part of that experience. It doesn't mean they can't be in the vehicle. They can, but, you know, they're not necessary as part of that equation. And when it comes down to it, you know, the biggest challenge right now, I would say, is there's going to be a cab in that vehicle, because for the next several years, as the technology evolves, I'm not picturing, you know, a scenario where it's completely cabless, where it's just a power sustained unit underneath a trailer. The industry's got a long way to go for that. And there are some practical challenges with FMCSA and others. When you start to remove the capability for it to be a vehicle, you know, that's when, you know, regulations change significantly. And the beautiful part about it, right, is it's got a cab, it's got the capability to do these things. But the beginning and end, you know, as a professional driver, you can get in that vehicle and move it around, or you can drive it as a normal truck. The flexibility for the driver and for the fleet is still there.
One of the things that personally I noticed during Run On Less Regional last fall is how much the truck drivers appreciate getting home every night. Now, of course, there's the road warriors, right, that love being out on the highway for and on the road for weeks at a time. But for the most part, you know, we want to get home. So this idea of that driver getting in the cab once it's made this driverless run and deliver the goods in a particular area, maybe stay in that region for, you know, the next shift or another day before that truck goes and makes another long run. That's a much more desirable truck driving job to our early conversation. What technologies or what's added to the truck? How does this function occur? Just a little bit of the technology around Too Simple.
Yeah. I mean, for what we're doing, very similar to other autonomous vehicles that are out there. It has sensing devices. So ways for the vehicle to see its environment around it, combination of cameras, LIDAR, radar, you know, pretty widespread technologies. So the sensing capabilities allow the vehicle to know where it is and see its surroundings. And then computational power that's been added to the vehicle. So, you know, in the way of a server or the technology that's going to allow it to, you know, virtually think through a scenario. And then really the secret sauce, not unlike a lot of companies out there, is the algorithms that allow it to self-drive. Because if you just told it to stay in the right lane and not turn, it can't understand a situation where a vehicle may cut it off. So the algorithms that allow it to interact with humans at a you know, a vehicle to, you know, human level, you know, are part of what I would say is what makes Too Simple special. And then, you know, you and your audience are very familiar with automated transmissions, by-wire connectivity on commercial vehicles. Now, all of those really sit and allow the computer to work with the vehicle on controls to make decisions and then obviously to be safe on the highway.
That's so exciting. In 2 weeks' time in early July, Too Simple made the major news twice. I don't know if you planned them being that close together, but let's talk about first both of them. So first was an announcement about what you called an AFN or Autonomous Freight Network. And some fleets have already signed onto that network. I saw UPS, US Express, Penske, and McLean, I believe. What's going on here? What is this? You know, are there specific routes in the network? And are these companies committed to using it?
So the Autonomous Freight Network, in essence, is the roadmap of how autonomy will roll out. So unlike a traditional truck that you would purchase at the dealership, drive off the lot and have a great day, back to level four autonomy, it needs a mapped route to follow. It needs a place to go. It's an advanced version of the old Rand McNally that sat in your sleeper when you didn't know where you were going. You know, so for us, with these partners, UPS, US Express, and McLean, they're helping us to build the network in a way that fits their current needs. So when we think of this network, you know, we usually refer to it as, you know, the 5G network that supports the Navistar 5G phone. And I know we'll talk about Navistar in a minute. But these partners are key in how we develop those routes, starting in the Tucson, Phoenix area over a year ago, and now out as far east as Dallas. And then certainly the listeners can visit our website to see additional phases. But, you know, the goal there is to help build a network that allows these vehicles to then jump onto once the vehicle is commercially available and ready. It's, you know, the simplest way we kind of joke about it is it's no good building a 5G phone if there's no network to put it on. It's just a little box. So same thing with this right here, the network will be in place. So when Navistar puts together our 5G phone per se, we can plug it right into the network.
Got it. So you said something that brought a question to my mind. You said something about mapped out the route. Do you have to do work to understand the routes in order to enable the technology? And most importantly, I mean, the freeways are one thing, but, you know, when you talk about those 3 mile approximate or, you know, some distance close, but a little ways from the freeway, it would seem to me there's gazillion of those, right? So does each one of those need to be mapped for each customer when they decide to go to one of their warehouses or something? How does that work?
Yeah. So the mapping is all done by Too Simple. It's proprietary high definition maps. Pretty common in the autonomous space just because the technology isn't out there with a generalized map that would work for the complexity of a self-driving vehicle. But you're right. I mean, the highways are pretty static, right? You know, you map them all and then all of a sudden you're just dealing with updates in the future. The local streets are really defined by the volume for that customer. So if you're a very large velocity customer, 20, 30 loads a day in and out of your facility, it's going to make sense to map directly to your terminal. But if it's not, we're going to have our own set of terminals in the network where vehicles can come to it without having, you know, the requirement of that many number of loads to say, okay, well, I only have one load per day, but I'll bring it to the Too Simple yard where then their vehicle or an additional vehicle can deploy and they can still benefit from that network without having to really be of scale to be mapped directly to them. That really limits the number of cases you have to worry about in large geographic areas.
Yeah, I think that's where this whole, you know, infrastructure kind of comes in, right? So NACFI's doing, we're doing a lot of work in a lot of these transformational technologies. And so, you know, part of what we look for is how much infrastructure needs to be changed. You know, the country struggles to keep potholes covered, right? So how can we do a lot of things? So I think this, you know, whether the truck needs to go to a terminal that's created or right at the freeway exit or something versus find its way. I mean, one could have less infrastructure required than another, and that that makes it easier for adoption, I think.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike, because we need our technology to be able to integrate easily into the current logistics landscape. It can't create billions of dollars in infrastructure expenses, and it can't significantly disrupt the way the current network is laid out because it just makes adoption that much harder. So the easier we can fit within what our customers need and want, the faster we'll be able to deploy.
Yeah, so let's get to that second announcement, Jay. Now, this one was specific to co-development with Navistar. I think that was actually the first big announcement for Percio, the new CEO. Tell us about that. And I guess the first question that came to my mind, does this limit your product to one truck builder, or is it something where you're partnering with somebody here in the early days, and kind of why Navistar over anybody else? Any sense to that?
We've been working with Navistar for almost 3 years now on getting to this stage in our development process. So it's not certainly a new relationship for Too Simple. But what was critical about, you know, Navistar's participation in this co-development effort is they're really going to be the linchpin bringing together all of the tier one items that are required for autonomy. They're going to bring together our sensing equipment all within a commercial platform that can be produced at scale rather than a retrofit. And, you know, for us, it's big news. It's exciting. We're super excited about the partnership and the vision that Navistar has. You know, when it comes to additional partnerships, I would tell you that, you know, we are looking for the best platform for our technology. And that's not to say that it's only going to be Navistar. But also to say that, you know, our co-development efforts are pretty significant with the team there. So the goal there is to certainly maximize that potential on their platform. And they really see the vision, Mike. They see the potential for this technology. They're excited about what it can bring to their customers and offer as a value proposition. We're right next to them.
Yeah, so I've got a whole lot of questions about, you know, scaling and, you know, how this looks down the road. But I gotta follow my own advice. I've been saying a lot lately that we need to figure out how to crawl, then walk, then run. And so, you know, I think we've heard some great things about you and your team there with, you know, focusing on some specific routes with the autonomous freight network, learning with a few early adopting fleets, and then this one truck OEM. I mean, clearly we'll figure out how to walk and run later, but with the pandemic, you know, we're doing a lot of things virtually, but, you know, if we were live, I've been in a lot of conference rooms where, you know, self-driving trucks were talked about, or even this evolution from where we are today to more of the computer driving versus the driver. And, you know, when we get to the self-driving trucks, you see all kinds of looks on people's faces, including, you know, no way in hell under my watch kind of thing, you know? So, but you're here to tell us that, it's really happening, and, any more insight into just how and when and why and where will it happen first?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we see it as a commercial product available in 2024. That's what we've stated publicly. You know, it's only 4 years away, which in the life cycle of a truck isn't that long. But we see it's there and it's coming. When it comes to scale, it's really going to be driven by both the market and then the product offering by Navistar and Too Simple. So whether that will be a heavy focus on a certain region, a specific fleet, it's really dependent upon what the customer wants and needs. And then, you know, I think over the next decade or two, you'll certainly start to see more scale, you know, as other OEMs put out their own products. Some of the folks that are in this space with us commercialize their products too. So the offerings will grow. And I think the realization that it's here and it's a viable solution will also grow. And this just goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, for my own benefit, right? Because I'm a fairly conservative, pragmatic person. It took me really understanding that it wasn't a matter of, you know, if, it's really when, and just wanted to be a, the understanding of, you know, okay, so we're past, it's going to happen. Now what's the when? And the when for us is over the next 4 to 5 years.
Right, right. When and where, you know, where and where with respect to kind of like you mentioned, the routes, the fleets, you know, is it return to base or some sort of consistency in the routing? I mean, I'm sure there's all those things in the algorithm of where the biggest success would be for your technology. So, man, Jay, we're out of time, but kind of finally, what do you want the trucking industry to know about, you know, Too Simple and what you're trying to do to that can help you? Or in other words, like when you sit there and you go, man, this industry, if they just knew this about us or that about us, we'd move along. So what's your kind of message to everyone?
Yeah, I think the best way to close this is this is not the end. It's really just the beginning. It's a conversation. And, you know, we're open to that at Too Simple, myself, and, you know, we have some amazing government affairs folks, commercial folks. We want to have that conversation. So if you've got questions, concerns, or just want to kind of, you know, point a finger at me and ask me why this is going to change your world and why it has to happen, I'm open to that. And, you know, we've got pretty thick skin. We're in an industry where I think most people misunderstand that they believe trucking is slow to embrace technology. I don't know that that could be farther from the truth, because when you look at how we reacted as an industry to what's going on in the world with inclement weather, trucking always responds. And I think for us, you know, we want to be a part of that conversation of how trucking can respond to this technology, but just not to be afraid to ask those questions, continue to challenge us. We don't know everything. And we're in an industry that has just such a long, tremendous amount of knowledge, history, and really professional credibility. And we want to be a part of that journey and be that way in a thoughtful and safe manner. So, you know, I welcome any of the listeners to reach out to us, have that conversation with us, learn more, and really help us continue to partner to provide the safest, best system on the market.
Thank you, Jay. That's really fantastic. We appreciate you joining me and shedding some new light for even myself on what this level 4, you know, self-driving truck technology is, sort of how it'll happen. So great work there at Too Simple. Tell everybody we said hello, and best to you and the team.
Great to be with you, Mike. Hope you and your listeners stay well and safe.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosenfrantz.